One of the worst homilies that I have ever heard, perhaps the all-time worst, and you know how low that bar is, was one that I heard almost 30 years ago on the Feast of the Holy Family. I was visiting with my parents, who lived in a large East Coast archdiocese, which shall remain unnamed except to say that its initials were Philadelphia. I watched in some alarm as Monsignor ascended the pulpit, glared at the congregation, and began by saying, "You people think your families have problems. Your problems are nothing compared to the Holy Family's problems." And it went downhill from there. Although Monsignor chose to begin by belittling his congregation and trivializing their family problems, I think I understand what he was trying unsuccessfully to say. There is a temptation to look at the Holy Family as if they are some sort of perfect model of family structure and life. Although they may indeed be a model, I don't think that perfection is at the core of that model. And this is good, really, because while perfect models give us something to aspire to, they can also leave us feeling ultimately inadequate. Perhaps, like me, and I suspect Monsignor, you grew up with an image of the Holy Family as holy card perfect, painted in lovely pastels with gleaming halos. And the problem is that this image didn't look much like my family, even though I had a pretty great family. But think about it. They were three people, two of whom were sinless, and the third who says virtually nothing that we know of. I grew up in a family of nine, and although we were pretty good, we were not sinless, even me. Leaving aside the pious pictures and imaginations of the Holy Family, what we know of them looks less than perfect. We see a child conceived out of wedlock. They were forced to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's death squads. On one trip to Jerusalem, they managed to leave their child behind, resulting in one of those awkward, "I thought you had him" moments that today would result in a visit from Child Protective Services. After that scene, Joseph is never mentioned again, and we can only speculate that Mary, sometime after that, was widowed. Jesus, as an adult, instead of caring for his mother, takes off and becomes an unemployed, itinerant preacher, hanging out with fishermen, tax collectors, and notorious sinners. The Gospels tell us that his relatives clearly disapproved of his career choice and even attempted an intervention to get him to come to his senses and settle down. Finally, he ran afoul of the authorities and was arrested. So maybe this is the sort of family I can relate to after all. I think it's particularly appropriate that the church has placed the Feast of the Holy Family on the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. One of the reasons why many people find the holidays difficult is because the holidays tend to elevate our expectations of family togetherness and harmony, expectations that may leave you disappointed if, like virtually all of us, your family isn't perfect. Today's feast is a reminder that when God chose to become fully human and to achieve our salvation and reconciliation, he chose to be born into a family with all the struggles and joys and disappointments and love that families experience. Jesus had a family, one that sometimes didn't understand what he was about. As a child, he wasn't incubated in some perfect sterile cocoon. but he knew all of the ups and downs that we know in our families. His family was where he learned about his faith, learned compassion, and developed a concern for justice. It's also where he learned to value the truth and to take risks for the sake of love. And this is why all families are holy, because they are where we learn how to love. Sometimes those lessons are difficult or painful. Sometimes they're warm and nurturing. But families do not have to be perfect to be holy. And they don't have to be conventional to be holy. There is a reason why the two most popular families on television today are the Simpsons and the Dumfies. Not because they are perfect model families, but because underneath the dysfunctions and the problems and the struggles, there is a real love for each other. Maybe we're getting past the expectations of perfection in our families and finally realizing that what makes a family holy isn't perfect compliance with a particular model, but the presence of love that binds us together, nurtures and heals us, and helps us understand that Christ is among us wherever love is found.